Welcome to the Better Workday podcast, hosted by Niamh Moynihan. Each week, Niamh shares tips, tricks, and insights to help you have a better workday. In many areas of both work life and personal life, we are asked, what are your goals? How are you progressing against your goal, etc.? But sometimes it can be like setting and tracking goals is impossible, and we just want to focus on getting tasks done. So Niamh, how do I set goals? And how could they help me getting the right tasks done?
Hello, hello. Today we are talking about goal setting and I am excited because it's one of the things that can either make you feel really, really productive or if they're not done well, it can make you wonder if you did anything at all during the week. So if you improve the way that you set your goals, I think it can make a massive difference to your workday or to any area of your life that you're setting goals. And I want to start with an example and I suppose an admission that when I first started working on a better workday, I didn't have a goal. And it's because this started as a hobby and then it was a side hustle and it was a long time before Better Workday became a full-time flourishing business. And back at the start, I didn't think I needed a goal. Sure, it was only a hobby. I was like, I'll tip away at it when I've got the time. You know, I'm not looking to make any money out of it. I'm only doing it because I'm interested in the area. But the problem with that approach was because I had no goal or nothing to measure my progress by, I would work on it just for the sake of working. And when I did achieve things, I'd no idea if they were bringing me further along the road or keeping me where I was or taking me off path. So having a goal is really, really important in terms of anchoring you and making sure that you're confident that you're spending your time on the right activities. And again, this could be personal activities or work activities. And almost as bad as having no goal is a vague goal. When I was moving towards the full-time business milestone of Better Workday, I set this ridiculous goal of helping 1 million people worldwide create a better workday. And while that might sound lovely, and it is, it's a great goal, great dream, I did not specify at all how I was going to do that. I literally just picked a number out of the sky, 1 million, sounded amazing, and said, right, I'm going to help 1 million people. Now that's a dangerous goal because there are 101 ways I could do that. And without being specific about what you're going to do, you could end up trying all 101 ways, which I did for a little while before I caught myself. And if you're wondering how I caught myself, it's because I have a few accountability partners. And when you say those things out loud, like I want to help 1 million people worldwide, you start to realize how vague a goal it is and that's not serving you. So now my goals are more specific. They're based on two dimensions, revenue and hours worked. And because they're set up well, they serve me well. And that's what I'm really trying to say here, that, you know, good goals, they help you grow without burning out. So you do want to make sure that you know what you're working towards, the time frame, and whether or not you can measure your progress. But more than that, you'd want to know if it's achievable with the resources that you have, or do you need to get extra support? And is it realistic? So often we look at goals and we say, yes, absolutely, we can achieve them, but at what cost? And when it comes to productivity, you want to make sure that if you're setting a goal in one area, it's not going to cause a negative impact in another area that you didn't mean to happen. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. One of the nicest things I find about having goals is that it sets an outcome for the week and then moves me away from having such a task-oriented approach to my days. So in the past, I would have had lists upon lists upon lists of things to do, and I still do, but now I take a weekly outcome approach, which is I write down the 2 to 3 outcomes or mini goals for the week and then just highlight the tasks that are related to those. And they're the ones that I prioritize. And the reason this is helpful is that it flips your thinking from what you're doing, which is all the things on the to-do list, to why you're doing it, which is to achieve the desired outcome. And when you keep the list short, it motivates you to filter through all the things you could do to focus on what's important. And when we're talking about being productive and not busy, that is key. And the nice thing about outcomes is that I feel they're always more than the sum of their parts. So yes, you might have 5 to 6 tasks on your list, but if you achieve them all, and if they're all aligned towards a particular goal, then the goal itself results in something so much better, so much bigger. And I suppose an example of that for me is if I was setting a goal to run. So perhaps I didn't run at all and my goal was to get up to running 5K. Sure, the steps would be getting out every couple of days to first walk and then do half walk, half jogging and build up to the run. But at the end of it, the outcome is not just the distance of 5K. It's the fact that I put in the work, so I built my confidence, I might have changed my mindset, I moved my body, so perhaps I feel better about my body, I got out of the house or out of work, so perhaps my head is a bit clearer and I benefit from that. And there's all of these extra benefits on top of, yes, being able to run 5K. And that's the joy of focusing on the goals that we're working towards or the outcomes that we're working towards, that we don't get lost in those small steps and we realize that it is so much more. The journey is so much more than the steps. Now, when it comes to working towards your goals, there's a couple of things that I recommend that you do. The first is, before you even start, I want you to write down how you will know if you've been successful. Because if you're anything like me, your expectations are like a moving target. And the closer you get to one version of your goal, the more likely it is that you're going to rewrite the goal and set it at a higher bar or make it more difficult or more challenging. And while this is tempting, and I've done it, it's no good for our confidence and for our well-being. Because if we're constantly shifting those goalposts, how are we ever going to achieve the goal? So it's nice to write down two versions of success. The first would be the base level or the good enough version of success. And then the second would be your desired version, what you'd love to see happen. Sticking to the running analogy, maybe the good enough version is that I'll be able to run 5K in 45 minutes. And ideally, I'd love to run it in, 30 minutes, for example. So in this case, I know what good enough is. And if things come into my life or things come into work that mean I don't achieve the highest level of success, I still know that I have achieved something and that I've reached something that I had deemed good enough in the beginning. Now, once you have all that, it's time to actually do the work, because the one thing that you can't rely on for goals is for them to do the work for you. And if you put your goal into a notepad or onto a file and put it away into a drawer, it's not going to get you anywhere. You do have to do the work. And the two questions I'd always be asking there are, when and where are you going to work on your goal? And it does depend on whether you're introducing something new or you're existing or you're replacing, an existing habit. So for example, if it's something new, you have to schedule into the week where it's going to take place and where. But if you're like me, your schedule is already pretty full, so you might have to take a look at your work or your plans overall to create space for the something new. And quite often we skip that part and then wonder how we don't have the time to work on our goals. And when you're doing that, please don't just make time for the immediate action. So my running example, doing the run, you also have to allow time for getting dressed or getting your clothes ready for the run and, you know, having your shower and all that afterwards. So quite often we only schedule the smallest amount of time for our goals, where in fact we ignore all the prep work and the post work. And again, this is why quite often you might feel that you set a goal and suddenly you don't have enough time to do it. And now when it's an existing habit, then you're going to consider where the triggers are for that habit and what you're going to do instead. So sticking to a movement example, perhaps you want to get in more steps, and what you're going to do is you're going to take the stairs instead of the elevator, and your trigger is going to be whenever you have to climb up to 3 flights of stairs, you're going to take the stairs. And that could be it. And you notice what I've done there, I haven't said whenever you're going to have an option to climb stairs, you're going to do that instead of taking the lift. Because if it's 26 flights of stairs, you might not do it at all. And then you've broken your new goal or your new resolution and it all falls to pieces. So it's always good to ensure that the triggers are realistic and you have a clear action plan. In this case, whenever I see the option to take an elevator or take the lift or walk up 3 flights of stairs, I will walk 3 flights of stairs. And after that, we'll see. You know, one of the things that we have to do with the goals is to make sure that they're prioritized among other things. So the two examples that I gave there, for the new habit, it has to go into your calendar. That means that if somebody tries to put something in on top of your goal time, that you have to push back or qualify that what they're asking for is indeed more important. And what I would say is it's best to try and schedule it into your calendar as far in advance as possible so that you can manage your expectations and other people's expectations. So if you're planning to work on this for 4 to 6 weeks, put it into your calendar now for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And then when you're prioritizing existing things, I suppose in the situation with the lift, if you're getting a lift or taking the stairs with somebody else and they wanted to take the lift and you want to take the stairs, it's about prioritizing your goal over a 5-minute conversation with that person and being okay with them, you know, going a different route to you and you meeting them on the other side. So it's those small things that we think about, but they're important. At this point, you might be thinking, Niamh, it's all well and good to have a goal, and even if I have the time, it doesn't mean that I can necessarily achieve it because I don't have all the resources that I need. And I found that whether it's at work or my personal life, I don't think I've ever actually achieved a goal on my own. Like, even if I did the goal work myself, other people had to help me to create that space needed to do the goal work. Again, looking at this upfront allows you to be more productive because you spend less time then spinning your wheels and procrastinating and stop starting. So it's really, really good to know upfront as best you can what support you need. And support comes in many different ways. So you might need someone else's skills or their knowledge, and that might be something that you know, but it also could be like a book, it could be a podcast, it could be a YouTube video, it could be a course, it could be anything like that. You might need emotional support. This is huge for me. I think that, you know, I can do the work, but I need someone else to have the chats with, to keep me motivated, to talk about the different challenges that come up. So emotional support is a support I always try and get. Then the time piece does not just mean you carving out your time. It could also mean other people helping with their time or giving you their time so they can take on some work. And then finally, the mindset. So you might need to change your mindset to achieve a goal. So in work, perhaps it's a task that or a project or a goal that you just don't think that you can do for some reason, and you need some support in shifting your mindset around that. For me, when going back to the running example, I always said I couldn't run. So to start training for a marathon, I had to make a big mindset shift to remind myself that yes, or to tell myself and to believe that yes, I could run. So I think support around mindset is something which we gloss over or skip over a lot of the time, but always check your mindset when you're looking to achieve a new goal or work towards a new goal and see if you need some help there. And again, that could just be picking up a book, or it could be talking to somebody, or it could be talking to yourself, right? But what supports do you need to put in place? And while you're on this goal journey, I think it's really, really important to get the feedback you need to feel productive. So depending on how measurable your goal is, you might be able to get feedback from the work you're doing pretty regularly. So in the running example, I could know pretty easily how I'm tracking towards getting to 5K because I'll know how much distance I'm running and walking. I know how much time I'm spending walking and how much time I'm spending running. So, you know, it's very, very measurable. But there's other things that are very hard to measure. I'm thinking more creative projects, and that's where you need to show your progress to other people if you can to get the feedback. And, you know, perhaps you can show a first draft or a second draft or a wireframe to get feedback from your manager or whoever it is on the progress you're making towards the goal. And this allows you to manage expectations along the way, adjust where needed, but also make sure that you and the other people are on the same page around how much work is left to be done. So if your goals are hard to measure, I would definitely recommend having more regular feedback sessions and to demonstrate your progress as best you can. So it's not just about talking about progress, you need to show it. Now, at this point, I have to stop and ask you to check with yourself, how many goals do you have running at the moment? Because a lot of people will have multiple goals, especially if you consider your whole life. So you might have goals at work, goals at home, goals for yourself, goals for the house, goals for the family. There's lots going on, right? And when you're trying to work towards multiple goals, you really need to pay attention to how you're going to spend your time and your energy, because if you just try to work towards them all together, you're going to end up feeling overwhelmed and you might burn yourself out. I find it helpful to look at the relationship between the different goals to do that. I have four categories. So some goals are sequential, which means you have to complete one before you can do the next. So in my running example, perhaps I want to run 5K and then I want to run 10K and then I want to run half a marathon. Well, I have to get to the 5K before I can get to 10K. So I'm not going to worry about the 10K until I have the first goal reached, right? And in work, it might be the same thing. There might be phases in a project that, you know, you can't, there's no point really starting work on the second phase until the first phase is done. Then you might have a goal that's linked to a bigger overarching goal. So this might be that you're working on one thing and there's lots of other people working on other goals, but they're all linked to something much bigger. Now, if that's the case, you want to be really clear on what the overarching goal is, and you want to make sure that you're getting regular updates around the status of that and the direction it's going, just in case there's a change that's going to impact your work. Or you might have complementary goals. So they can be worked on in parallel, but could positively or negatively impact each other. So I'm going to go back to the fitness example. So perhaps one of my goals is to run 5K and the other one is to do some strength training. So I want to be able to, I'll just pick maybe lift 20 kg, right? We'll just say, for example. Well, I can do both in the week. They can positively impact each other by reinforcing my confidence and giving me more energy, but they could also negatively impact each other if, for example, I pull a muscle doing one thing, or if I overstrain myself doing one thing, it'll impact the other. So they're in the same space, the same arena, and they can help each other, but they could also hinder each other. And then finally, you can have goals that are independent of each other. And this happens if you're looking at your goals holistically. So your work goals could be completely separate from your fitness goals. Me getting to 5K is nothing to do with, for example, my revenue goals for the year. Or are they? So here's the twist. They might be separate or they might be independent, but you are only one person. So you only have your 24 hours in the day. You only have your one source of energy, which is yourself. You know, you only have one mind to pay attention to things. So even though they're independent, you're still going to have to be mindful about, you know, not over committing on one at the expense of the other. So really, I suppose all your goals are linked to you and you are the overarching element of it. If you want more support in setting meaningful goals, you could download my goal ladder guide and I'll get you a link to that in the notes. Just to wrap things up, I find that when I set good goals, they give me a sense of calm because I know what I'm going to be doing, I know what I'm working towards, and I can measure my progress along the way, either, you know, as through self-measurement or getting feedback from others. But I also know that if I set a vague goal or no goal, that I feel a little bit lost at sea and I'm working just for the sake of working. I'm not sure what direction I'm going. And that's a very unsettling feeling. So if you are concerned about your workload at the moment, if you're not sure if you're spending your time on the right things, perhaps the one thing you can do after listening to this episode is to sit down with your work and see how much of your daily tasks are mapped to your goals. Okay, folks, that's it from me. It has been an absolute joy talking to you today. Until next time, stay well and have a better work day.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Better Workday podcast is about helping you have a better workday. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. You can find our social media details as well as any references from this episode in the show notes.